Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, crickets, dragons, and warriors of all ages, we welcome you all to the wonderful world of Walt Disney's Animation Studios. So I am Elizabeth Clyde. I am here with TJ, and today we are talking about Mulan with Systematic Geekology. So TJ, you are more into this a little bit than I am. Can you tell us about the era, the Disney era Mulan is in?
Yeah, so Mulan is kind of on the tail end of the Renaissance era. It's not the last one from the Renaissance era. I think that was Tarzan. But, you know, the Renaissance era is where Disney really leaned into the musical aspect and they revamped their style. And when most people think Disney, this is the era they tend to think about. It's, you know, Tarzan, Mulan, Little Mermaid, Hercules, you know, Josh's favorite. We all love Josh.
Sometimes.
Lion King, like that. Also, the only good Disney sequels are in the Renaissance era.
Okay, I can see that because I enjoyed Mulan too. I did.
Yeah, that's not one of them.
I didn't say it was the best. I enjoyed it.
Lion King 1.5 and Lion King 2 are the good Disney sequels.
I loved 1.5. It was really fun.
It's really good. Also, The Rescuers Down Under. Underappreciated.
So if you guys enjoy this episode, make sure you catch out other episode we did in our Renaissance era. We are going through all of the Disney era. So make sure you either like, subscribe, so you get that notification whenever we have new episodes coming out your way. Before we get started, I just want to thank one of our supporters, Justin Vaughn. Thank you so much for being a monthly supporter of the show. Whether you want to support on Captivate, Patreon, or on our AMP network, we really appreciate it. So yeah. Going into the episode. So I'm a little stereotypical. I would say Mulan is solely my favorite Disney movie because I am part Chinese. And so I've just thought it was so cool seeing a Disney character that kind of looked like me. So yeah, I have watched this so many times. I can quote it word from word. And we're just going to talk a little bit about our favorite scene. So TJ, I can't say the whole movie, so tell me your favorite scene or what stuck out to you most. We're going to talk specifically the cartoon first.
Fighting when, you know, they go to fight the Huns. They go to head the Huns off at the mountain pass. And Mulan uses the firework to collapse the mountain and kill a bunch of people. That's great.
Yeah, you don't really like notice it's being killed at the time. It's like, oh, they're buried in snow.
But super dead.
Super. Well, except like six people survived.
Six. Yeah.
Super dead. I love the training montage of I'll make a man out of you. I feel like Mulan has the superior music. I know we talked about this time and age. I'm not saying, you know, back. I know Hercules is hard to beat, but I just loved Let's Get Down to Business. When Will My Reflection Show had every little teenage or preteen girls just like, no one understands me. They don't really see me inside. It just had us in all of our feels. And it just brought out so much emotion. But the I'll Make a Man Out of You, wow.
Yeah.
One of the best songs I think out there for Disney.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The rest of Mulan's discography, I feel like, is really underrated. The score tracks are also really, really good. And they just don't get as much love because they're not reflections or I'll Make a Man Out of You.
True. Yeah. Even the, like, I can't think of any songs I don't love. Like, even This Is What You Give Me to Work With. Well, honey, I've seen more. It's just so, like, so clever. And yeah. I love that Mulan is technically a Disney princess, according to Disney standards, but she did not need a man to make her a princess. She did not need to marry. She did not need to be born to a king. She just saved a whole nation and is really the best heroine out there.
Yeah. Her man was China.
Yes.
The whole country.
What a flex.
Yeah. Kind of hard to beat.
It really is. And then I think with Mushu, and this is what made a lot of controversy with the live action, Eddie Murphy as Mushu really, really like just sealed it. Like the banter between them. It was funny. We loved Kriki. I have Kriki tattooed on my back, representing Mulan on my anime sleeve. And so I just really enjoyed him. Did you watch the live action Mulan?
I did.
How did you feel?
I didn't. I felt nothing, which I think is probably the worst thing you can say about a movie.
Really? So you weren't even angered by it?
No, it was all right. Some of the effects were cool, okay. But I felt nothing.
As apathy is worse. I was telling Taylor that whenever I was getting ready to decide not to teach anymore, I stopped getting upset or mad with the administration. I just stopped caring. And then I knew that's when I needed to stop being a teacher because I stopped caring about the outcome. So not caring, very bad. Why do you think you did not care?
It just wasn't great, you know? Like you're remaking Mulan in live action, and Mulan is held in such high standard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a cool movie. But it wasn't Mulan.
Yes. And I understand how Disney, I gave it a lot of grace because they could have probably completely botched it. And because I'm just so faithful to Mulan, I was going to love anything they did. So I really enjoyed it. But I kind of agreed with you. Like, it didn't feel like Mulan. It almost felt like they took, you know how like a Cinderella has so many different versions of Cinderella in movies and whatnot. It kind of felt like that. They took the concept of Mulan and then they made a really like nice movie with it. But I wouldn't say it was like a mirror live action of Mulan.
Yeah.
Even though
they were like, what if Mulan had her own Jafar to fight?
Yes. And there was no Mushu. We love Mushu. He's just so great. And then just all the, I did appreciate all the hidden notes since the live action didn't have any music in it on purpose, like singing because live action. They had it like the scores. So when Mulan was getting ready to meet the matchmaker, that song like was playing instrumental in the background. So I feel like they did do a nice little like homage to the original, but even the original, like as in with Pocahontas, it's not historically accurate either. So I felt like people who got super upset with like, this is not Mulan. Well, it could be argued Disney's 1990s version is also not Mulan. It's not the historic representation. So did you find any, as a white male, cultural inappropriateness with this movie when you watched it at first? Like at the beginning, right?
Yeah, I was a child.
I mean, I was a child too. So it's just crazy how you watching it in one era and now watching it now, you nitpick and you can realize. So why do you think, I heard it was offensive to Chinese, like to China day one though. Like I've always heard like, you know, they weren't the most happy with this movie, but do you remember off the top of your head, when's the last time you watched Mulan?
Oh, last year.
Okay. Can you point out all the stereotypes that you can remember from Mulan? That's just kind of funny.
Other than like chopsticks and, you know, stuff that's like culturally relevant. No, not really.
And that's kind of like my thing too, because there was no, in my opinion, making fun of the Chinese culture.
Yeah. It felt very appreciative when I was a kid. You know, I was like, oh man, that's what China's like. That's awesome.
Yeah. I want to eat rice all the time. To this day, I still eat rice all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, as Southern Americans, we do eat rice all the time.
Yes, but that's a whole nother backstory why we eat rice a lot. So just going back to Mulan, what would you say stuck out? Like, why do you enjoy this movie so much? What would you rank it as top as like your favorite Disney movies?
I don't know. It's like, where would I rank it? That's a hard question.
Well, like, you know, like, is it going to, not saying it's going to be this exact number, but would you say it's kind of in the top of your favorite Disney movies or kind of near the bottom? If you,
Not near the bottom. Not near the bottom. But I would like to say Frozen 2. I forgot about Frozen 2 being a sequel. Yeah, it's worse than Lion King 1.5 and 2. I just wanted to make it absolutely clear. I don't like Frozen 2 as a sequel
either.
Good
to know.
That is included in the sequels are bad. But Mulan would probably be like top 10.
Top 10?
At least top 10. Maybe not top 5. I have to think about it. I know it's not number 1.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's only number 1 because this is... I identified with Mulan being almost like a role model growing up.
Yeah, that's fair. My role model is Jim Pleiades Hawkins. So I just need to grow the rat tail. Then I can live my Treasure Planet dreams.
I mean, you're already halfway there, I feel like.
I am halfway there. I do have half of his haircut. I just need the rat tail.
And the cool board he has.
Yeah, that too. I need to get on that.
Yes.
But Mulan is definitely great. You know, when I was little, I was just watching whatever was on, and it was all cool because it was colors and music. But Mulan is exciting, and it's different. Up to this point, the Disney princesses are all like, oh, I'm going to go do my thing, and then there's a guy there, and we're gonna end the story together. And the princes don't really do anything in most of them. You know, the prince, what most people would call the princes, is very active in Mulan, Shen. It's pretty sweet.
Gosh, I did have a little crush on him too. That I think, you know, like I said, if I started now, I could literally say word for word all the episodes, every single word from Mulan. Because usually whenever I have a paint project to do or something with my hands that I need background noise for, I'll play Mulan because I can see it in my head while my hands are busy and my focus is somewhere else. And so for those who might be living under a rock, just real quick, Mulan is about this Chinese girl who kind of stinks at being a girl as she failed her matchmaking like test per se. And she pretty much fumbles it in the movie and in both movies. And the matchmaker quote says, "You may look like a bride, but you will never bring your family honor." And during that time, the only way a female can bring her family honor is through being a good match and marrying well. And so Mulan was kind of like the outcast. Fast forward a little bit, there is now a war and everyone's getting drafted. And every man, at least one family, has to provide a male to fight in war. And so there is no young men in Mulan's family. So her father goes to fight. And she's like, "No, father, you can't." And he's like, "You dishonor me because she spoke out of turn, blah, blah, blah." And she goes off, disguises herself as a man to fight the war her father is supposed to be in. And so most of it is her going through boot camp and training and being a man. I think she was a great... Also, another reason why I love Mulan, her nickname is Ping. And then growing up, my nickname was Peng. So I felt like I was Mulan since my maiden name is Pengalengan. So... like I am Mulan pretty much is what I'm saying.
Yeah. 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 No, Mulan was also just cooler than all the other Disney princesses. Still is cooler than all the other Disney princesses.
I wish kind of she wasn't categorized as a princess. I understand why, but she does not need to be a princess. She's a warrior.
Warrior princess. It's like Xena.
Yeah. I get why she's with it, but like even Esmeralda from Hunchback, like she's not classified as a princess, even though she's often seen with the princess line. But I just, you know, I feel like we didn't need to give her the princess label.
Yeah, I feel like she deserves it.
She does, but like almost like a heroine. We can give her a heroine label, but that's not Disney's theme, which I respect. Just wrong opinion.
They count Merida too.
Merida is, like she's the daughter of the chief.
That's not a princess.
Well, technically, then Pocahontas wouldn't be a princess because she's the chief's daughter.
Correct.
But they count that too.
Yeah.
It's still some kind of hierarchy. But it's fine.
The Empress.
Yeah. She could. I mean, she was almost Empress if you watched Mulan 2. She almost married Qigong's prince. Remember, they were forming an alliance with Qigong and they were taking three princesses to go marry the three prince. But then the three princesses ended up falling in love with the three, I call them the three stooges, but like, you know, Champo and Ya and Ling And so they went off to run away to get married to them. And so Mulan was like, I would be honored to marry a prince of Qigong. But then Shane comes in and saves her because she thought Shane was dead.
Yeah, of course I remember that about Mulan too.
Dude, I remember everything. I can't quote it, but I've watched it quite a few times. I wish there was a Mulan 3. Even as bad as it would be, I would enjoy it.
Wow.
I want to see the babies, always.
So what does Mulan mean to you? Like, what are you drawing out of Mulan?
So I think the best thing to draw out of Mulan, and they talk about this a lot in 2, but you see it in 1, is you have to kind of see, like, it's like following your heart or following what social norm is, you know? Because she is not supposed to be going into the military, fighting as a man. Like, that's technically illegal back in that day, but she did it to save her father. And so just being able to stand up for what you think is right, even when everyone thinks it's wrong, I feel like that's the really big take home for Mulan. And I mean, she kicked butt. It was hard work. She didn't quit, even when she had every right to quit. Even technically when in the cartoon, Shane in that song says, pack up, go home, you're through. So she almost had permission to leave, and she still stuck it out and saved all of China.
Oh, cool. I like those lessons.
Yes.
What I got out of it was that Mulan's cool.
Mulan is cool. Also, I feel like one of the biggest roasts ever that I love comes out of Mulan. Like, out of all the roasts, when they were singing A Girl Worth Fighting For. And I cannot think of the emperor's aide's name right now. Like, the tall, skinny guy who was already writing down, like, kind of like sending out notes to the emperor. Like, and he was just kind of a tool. What is his name? But you know who I'm talking about, right?
I know who you're talking about. Okay, I don't remember his name.
I can't remember his name. But they're all singing, you know, A Girl Worth Fighting For. And then the guy was like, I have a girl back home that's unlike any other. And then Yao just goes, the only girl who likes him is his mother. I don't know why. It just it tickles me every single time. I'll laugh and be like, that's so funny. But once again, nostalgia trumps all reasoning.
Yeah, that's a classic. That is a classic.
It's such a it's a classic burn.
Man. So let's hear it. What do you want in Mulan 3? They're going to reboot it for you.
Okay. I've thought about this quite a lot. So because Mulan 2 was when Shane and Mulan got married. Spoiler, guys, in case y'all didn't watch Mulan 2. It's been years. So I want to watch them raise their families. I feel like a lot of the millennial generation, they just want to see, because as we are having kids and raising our families, I want to see my heroes raise their families. I just think that would be so fun. But then I don't want it to be like a Boruto type situation and it be trash.
Yeah, that I can't promise it's not going to be bad. Probably much worse than Naruto.
It would be, but it's fine. What do you think about the gender and feminism role? So if Mulan, let's say we don't know about it, and it was released today, what do you think would be, do you think people would take it more seriously, like with today's government kind of saying it's representing something it may not? Does that make sense?
I think a lot of people would try to get the movie banned because it's telling young girls that they can be boys.
But I feel
That's
like
what I if, think would happen.
I feel like if it was today, going forth, just with the different movements, so it doesn't matter wherever you stand. This is just kind of like talking about like society, how some people might perceive it. I feel like it would be celebrated because it never portrayed Mulan not feeling like she was a boy trapped in a female's body, so she wanted to be a boy. This was all about her disguising and identifying herself and disguising and identifying as a boy to stay in the army. So I feel if this was a today we are boosting it and whatnot, there would just be a lot of backlash about how a girl can do anything a boy can do, which is true. But you also have to think about in the historical context. I don't even know in China if girls are allowed to serve in the militaries today.
Today, I think so.
Are they? I'm not too sure. I'm going to Google that.
But it would definitely be divisive. There would be a lot of opinions about Mulan, probably. Like every other recent Disney movie is, oh, why is this movie about women being strong? what's wrong with fulfilling gender norms? All our, wow, I love Mulan. She's so cool. She's going to defy her gender norms.
Yeah, you're right. Women can serve into the military in China, but they make up less than 5% of the military, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, cool. I'm not joining the military, so I don't blame the other rest of the population.
How do you feel, since we're talking about enlisting in the military and whatnot, that boys at 18 have to register for like the selective service, but females do not?
I mean, it's kind of backwards. No, it's not really fair. I don't really care.
You can always shoot yourself in the foot if there's a enlist going on.
I'm already draft proof.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I broke my leg really bad. Perfect. So like there's a bunch of metal in there.
My husband's a licensed pastor, so I think they have some kind of like proof for that. Or like there's like a loophole you can get in if you're like a clergy member, or he could be like a pastor in the thing. I've looked it up one time forever ago.
He could be chaps. He could be a chaplain. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I think he would do well. I would be a chaplain if he got enlisted. I'd be like, well, let's go together. Where you go, I go.
Consider subscribing on YouTube, where you can get some other stuff. You get exclusive series like our comic book catch-up, Manga Mustard, Drinks with Tejas, and a companion series we do each year to go with our annual theme. You also get access to Friday Night Frights and Wednesday Night Weeaboo and Spidey Swing Bys with Christian Ashley. You get access to other exclusive shorts, like what I'm going to be doing soon are non-canon, where I'm going to be reviewing different IPs that are outside of canon from our favorite fandoms or the Bible and discussing whether or not it should be canon. You also can get a short of Will's Wednesday pull list. So if you're into comic books, Will goes through his favorites of each week's pull list for himself. You also get other bonuses over there. Most of our surprise content will put straight to YouTube going live over there that you can check out. And a lot of our regular episodes are also posted on YouTube if you just want to see our smiling faces.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of think that men and women should be eligible for the draft. I understand why they would want to keep women out of the draft. Because, last time we did get drafted, well, the time before last time we got drafted, women kept the country running while like half of the men in the country went to die in Europe. So
It's scary to think about if what happened to in Mulan, and even though they say one man from every family, you have to go off to war. And so pretty much equivalent to our draft today, people would riot, even though it's by law and it's the country, versus in China, they see it as an honor to serve the emperor and it's an honor to serve the country. And so I feel even just coming from Japan, and knowing the Asian culture, since my family is, Filipino and Chinese, honor is such a big identity in Asian culture still to the day. And so it's just, versus America, we would just riot and probably picket and go crazy.
Yeah, I feel like we could do it differently. A lot of countries, and like, Korea, Finland, it's mandatory. Like, you are going to serve for 2 years when you turn 18. And that's it. You serve your 2 years and you're out. Everyone just does 2 years in the military.
Even women or just men?
I think it's just men.
Mm.
But I don't know. I almost prefer that to the draft. But I feel like most countries, when they're in a scenario where they need troops, they're going to instate a draft pretty quickly.
Mm. Thankfully, hopefully we won't have to worry about that. And the people who would like to enlist can freely enlist, and people who do not. Yeah. But you never know what the future will hold, especially in today's political economy.
Yeah. We love war.
No, we do not.
No, we don't. We're not fans of Augustine. Nope. Same person.
Gosh. How do you feel about how the ancestors was represented in Mulan? Because that is a part of like their religious culture.
That part, I feel like, might be part of the cultural, I don't know what we want to call it, degradation. That part that is actually, something that most people don't know about. This is how they're going to get exposed to like this part of Chinese culture. But I don't know if it's inaccurate. I don't know Shinto beliefs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big representation. It's more almost like a monument just for them to remember their ancestors and kind of asking for guidance and believing that their souls are still, like around. So I never thought it as weird growing up as Catholic or whatnot, but when I saw them, I kind of thought they were more ghosts than like your ancestor spirits.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like when I was a kid. I was like, oh, her family's ghosts live in the backyard. That's sick.
Yeah. Surprisingly, that didn't scare me either.
Yeah, it's very comforting. They don't portray it as like a scary thing.
Mm-hmm. And then like she goes for her her ancestors for comfort and for prayer. And so that's kind of who they pray to. I feel like it's very similar to like in Hispanic cultures when they do Day of the Dead and they celebrate their ancestors and they, you know, they come back to Earth for that one day. So even though it's a Chinese culture, it's like other cultures have similar experiences with that, just honoring. Even with my family, we have in my grandma's house, we have like a little shrine to Papa Caesar. And so, you know, you go and you go, hey, Papa Caesar, how's it doing? How's it going? Not thinking he's actually there. It's just a way to honor and remember him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I see it. I know some Christians got bent out of shape with it, but don't they all?
Us white folk don't do that. So that's obviously a problem to show our children.
Yes, this is true. It's crazy how parents back in the 90s, you could watch anything and it's fine. And then if you like it, we were talking about, if you show it today, completely different. It's like even with Hercules, all that Greek mythology and stuff like that and Greek gods, Christians would riot.
Yeah. I don't know. It really is like a family thing, you know, obviously like generalizations aren't always accurate, but my big sister is the same age as the Simpsons. So growing up, my sister and both of my sisters eventually and myself and our parents would just watch the Simpsons every Sunday night because that's when the new episodes came out from the time I was like, you know, old enough to watch TV, period.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode of The Simpsons whole life.
Really good.
I heard it was very funny. Is it adult humor or no?
Yeah, I mean, it varies.
And it was just kind of how you said it. It really depends on the family because my family, they weren't anti-Simpsons. It was just never own growing
up. Yeah, you know, I was allowed to watch The Simpsons, but not Family Guy, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, and then, you know, I know a bunch of people who weren't allowed to watch Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just weird. It's different. The way we as a society react to new media is kind of become horrible.
Right. Well, I was telling someone the other day, they were complaining. It's really funny because you don't think these cliches are true until like it happens, because people always complain like, oh, this music that these youngins are listening to, it's just the worst. And oh, I think it was because Taylor Swift's new album, people are complaining about that.
Oh, it is bad.
Which I didn't listen, so I don't know. But I just reminded him, I was like, remember when we were singing from the, and I just said like some of the lyrics of songs I remember listening to, and they're awful. And so I just kind of started quoting some of the lyrics like I could remember. I was like, we sung this, and we sung this, and we sung this. The only difference from our bad songs when I was growing up to the bad songs today is we do not have social media to complain about and to project our opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even like bad to listen to. I just think the album's bad.
Mm. I just don't listen to Taylor Swift like that. So I don't know her albums. Like I know like a lot of the lyrics was being shared around and I don't care. They're like, they're poisoning our kids. But I'm like, no, just, you know. As long as you instill the values that you would like in them in the house, not brainwashing them, but kind of living out the values, your kids will make their own decisions or not.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I learned most of my life lessons from Naruto.
Believe it.
Believe it. I never stray from my ninja way.
I never go back on my word.
Yep.
And you never leave a friend behind or you're scum. That's what Kakashi says. Yeah, no, I agree. But and we can kind of just see it with Mulan, too, like as she is being raised in this household, you know, her parents are saying you will do this. But they also raised her to be, you know, intelligent. They raised her to be an independent thinker. So whenever they're saying, you know, I'm going to war and she's upset about it, it's just like it's just showing she is a product of how she was raised. You did such a good job raising her. And so she went off to go fight warring, brought you home a medal and everything. She saved all of China. And she wouldn't have been able to do that if it wasn't for the values instilled by her parents. Yes, you can make your own opinions and your own choices. But how you are raised really influences the rest of your life.
Yeah. So do you think if you had been in Mulan's footsteps, you would have done the same thing?
Oh, absolutely not. So as I was telling you right before we started, like, the reason why I was late getting on this call is because my neighbor's house just caught on fire, and his son literally ran into the house, the burning house, and rescued four people because it was a crackhead's house who caught on fire. So they were all like strung out. And so he knew, obviously, that what type of house it was, being neighbors. And so he went and saved four people. And I straight up said, I was like, I would not have ran into the house on fire. Because, of course, you know, someone got a video. I got to see the house like actually engulfed on fire and him running into it. But I'm like, oh, my gosh, I would never. And I'm such a rule follower, too. Like, my parents instilled on me, if you do not follow the rules, there will be consequences. So I'm very afraid of the law and the outcome of that. So I would not do what Mulan did. I would try Mulan and probably find a way.
She didn't like, Mulan didn't change you?
No. It's a great, you know, movie, but I'm not going to change my lifestyle for 90 minutes.
90 minutes, how many times?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, it's been a few hours. But I mean, it teaches you to be brave. It does teach you to stand up for what you believe is right. Now, if I was put in Mulan's shoes today, being the, I don't want to be like the intellectual person I am. That sounds really conceited, but just kind of like that business minded. I would have went and found a family with multiple sons and I've been like, hey, I would try and strike a deal. It's like, you can afford two people to go off to war. What do I have to do to get you to go to war on our behalf? Like, I would still find a way to save my father, but I wouldn't do it to break the rules.
Mm-hmm. That is still illegal though.
Yes. But I mean, if I quickly married him or something, then he's the son of the house. And
yeah, Pang only does white collar crime.
Yes, white collar crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what I would do. It's fine.
Yeah.
You do if you were Mulan, you know, a Chinese, young Chinese girl in that situation?
Yeah, I'd go to war.
Yeah.
Dad's old.
If I was allowed to go to war, if there was a draft and females could go into the war, I would do it. I just don't trust myself enough not to get caught.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to join the military when I was younger and I broke my leg. It became hard to run. So that kind of slows things down.
That was never an option for me, the military. I never even thought about it because my parents, I don't want to say my parents groomed me, but like my dad had a family business. And so my only option was to take over that family business. So growing up, I didn't have a chance to dream until I did grow up and I rebelled. Yes.
So Mulan did teach you something.
I guess so, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, I am Mulan. Mulan is I.
Because Mulan's family did not want her to go to war.
I did not want to be a physical therapist. I wanted to be a pastry chef.
Noble cause.
Yes.
My sister does want to be a physical therapist. Maybe you guys just got mixed up.
That could be it, but it's fine. So as we are wrapping up, any other thoughts on Mulan besides she is fantastic? What would you rate the movie when scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, 9.
9?
Easily. Quite possibly 10.
Wow. I was not expecting high praise for you.
Yeah, it might be like number 6 on my list.
Wow. Maybe, I'm going to have to give it a 10 just because I feel like I can't say it's my favorite without giving it a 10.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you have a ranking?
Not really. So my favorite to rewatch, I never really thought and be like, I love rewatching Mulan. So number 1. Number 2, I always say my favorite Disney princess is Beauty and the Beast, or Belle from Beauty and the Beast. So Beauty and the Beast is number 2. Number 3 would be Hercules because I listen to that playlist a lot and I love watching Hercules. And then, I mean, I would really, those are top 3, and 4 and 5, like no one comes to mind easily, but those are the top 3 for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Treasure Planet number 1, of course, naturally. Coco number 2.
Oh, Ratatouille number 4 because I love that one.
Ratatouille's number 3. Ugh. It gets hard. It gets really hard on this list.
I'm trying to think what number 5 would be. Honestly, I know it's, I feel like it doesn't deserve to be number 5, but I really enjoyed Encanto.
Encanto is great.
Yeah, I feel like that would have to be number 5. Because it's not like, I feel like the OGs need to have its highest spotlight, you know? Like a young whippersnapper taking my 5th spot sounds wrong, but I think, I'm trying to think of movies that I would want to go watch right now.
There's just so many good ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the post-Renaissance era. So like Dinosaur, Emperor's New Groove, Atlantis, Meet the Robinsons.
My cat is named Kita, so I feel like Atlantis should have went up there too.
Yeah.
And then my dog is named from Frozen 2, so.
Home on the Range? Just kidding. I'm not putting that in my top 10, but I do like it. It's really funny.
We should do that. We should do like a special episodes where we all just bring our top 10s and just fight on why they deserve to be in the spot.
I think we should just rank everyone we've seen. Why stop at 10?
It would be like a 3-year episode.
Yep.
Done. We'll get Josh to go on it.
Everyone needs to start making their list right now, and we can record this in like December.
I want to do that with Studio Ghibli films, but it's hard to get the other hosts to like sit down and watch them all.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to watch all the ones I haven't seen. I'm not watching Earwig and the Witch.
No. But did you watch The Boy and the Heron that just came out?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm gonna.
Well, it's about to be on DVD soon, or digital download June 10th, I think. So yep. Anyway, we're getting off topic, so we are going to go ahead and wrap up. Guys, thanks so much for listening. I just realized we forgot to talk about what we were geeking out on. So real quick, our geeking out on is going to also be our recommendation. So TJ, what have you been geeking out on that you would recommend?
Well, for those who aren't athletically aware, I'll say it that way, Stanley Cup playoffs are happening right now. And if you've never been a big sports person, watch hockey. See if hockey's your style. Because I didn't really like watching most sports when I was growing up. But hockey's awesome.
I've never been to a hockey game. Have you ever been to the Stingray games in Charleston?
No, I don't live in Charleston.
Well, I didn't know.
I've been to the games in Greenville.
I forgot this. Well, I just was curious because I didn't know if people travel to go see the Stingrays. I heard that they were good. So I was like, we should go sometime.
They do actually. So the Stingrays have had a player before who is currently in the playoffs for the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Philip Grubauer. Great.
Well, maybe. Maybe the next time I go to Greenville, we can go see a hockey game.
Yeah, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. They actually just played the Stingrays last week.
I missed it. Okay. All right. Well, you find us a hockey game and I'll drive up and watch it with you. How about that?
Deal.
Done. So one thing I am going to recommend is an anime. It is romance. Shocker. It's called A Sign of Affection. So it's about this girl who is deaf. And so she really has a limited world. Not because she's deaf. It's just because she kind of has like the same routine, if you will. And she meets this traveler and so who loves language and exploring. And so he is learning about sign language. She is learning about the world through his travel. It's really quite beautiful, especially because this semester I had a hearing impaired student. So I actually had a interpreter for the student. So just kind of like being more interested in the sign language ASL community, I am actually thinking about picking it up. So recommend that if you are in for some cutesy stuff and just want to learn some fun things.
All right.
So that is our recommendations. Either take them or leave them. Whatever you choose. Please don't forget to rate and review the show on Podchaser, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, whichever platform you may listen to. And thank you again for our supporter and our Patreons who keep this show going. If you enjoyed this series, then make sure you check out the other episodes in this series. And don't forget, Patreons, you get an extra bonus question. So we are wrapping up right now. But for those who are a Patreon or Captivate AMP channel subscriber, you get a bonus question. So thanks so much and stick around for that. All you other people who are just not yet Patreons, it's fine. You'll catch it next time when you subscribe. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and have a great day.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our Captivate options. That's when you send us a little extra money to just help us along with our project. But what do you get by giving us that extra money? Well, you have access to any future online D&D campaigns. You get extra bonus question content, which we do at least 48 times a month. You can make a one-time donation here of any amount to help support the show. This helps us with our overhead. That includes the editing software that we use, the recording software that we use, the marketing that we have to do for the show, the equipment that we all need to help out with the show, and more. So thank you for what you do. Head out to Captivate. Help us out. We really appreciate what you do. See you later.
Hello, friends. If you like Systematic Geekology, then there's a host of other podcasts in our network that we think you will like just as much. And so we are part of the Anazal Ministry Podcast Network, and we hope that you can hop over and subscribe with all the podcasts that are in our network. Like, for instance, The Homily, which is, hey, Pastor Will Rose's sermon here in Chapel Hill, North Carolina at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. You have another podcast called The Whole Church Podcast, the OG, the originals, the beginner of it all. Yes, Joshua Noel and TJ working for unity among the church and having great conversations with the wide spectrum of those who are involved in Christian ministry and the church. You have My Seminary Life by Brandon Knight, who's discussing what he's learning in seminary, what's he is learning his theological studies and bringing to the surface those big things that we're wrestling with and thinking through theologically in the church and beyond. There's the Let Nothing Move You podcast from Christian Ashley, who is walking through the Bible in a very Bible study type fashion and walking through the biblical narrative. You have Dummy for Theology. I don't think Joshua is a dummy, but hey, he's going to lift up theological themes that he's thinking about and wrestling with. And maybe there's not a lot of answers, but there's definitely a lot of great questions out there that he's lifting up with some great theologians across the whole spectrum of Christianity. And then there's the Bible After Hours. Man, if you like to get risky, if you like to get controversial, there's this foul-mouthed preacher who goes through the Bible from a more progressive point of view, challenging the status quo of the modern church. Yeah, yeah, you don't want any kids around with that podcast. And then you have the Clydes, one of my favorite couples that I like to listen to. One of the hosts here on Systematic Geekology, Taylor and Elizabeth Clyde, go through weekly discussions and kind of a devotional, conversational method of what's going on in their lives, where they see God moving in their lives, and what God is up to in the world. So those are the podcasts, a part of the AMP network. Subscribe, follow. We hope you can be a part of all that great network with the wonderful podcasts at AMP.